Welcome everyone to the Friends That Carry On podcast, where we dive deeper into our trips, unpack tips, and everything in between. Now sit back, relax, and get ready to go on a trip with your favourite group of friends.
Hello everybody, and welcome to the Friends That Carry On podcast. This is Brian, and I'm here with Jim Scott and Tony Price. And today we're going to be talking about the bucket list.
What's a bucket list?
Well, a bucket list, I guess, things that you want to do before you die, right?
Yep, before you kick the bucket.
I got
a little formal definition up here in front of us that says, simply put, it's a collection of goals, dreams, and aspirations.
Careful now.
That's what you say.
Yeah.
that you would like to accomplish within your lifetime.
Yeah, so I thought today we would talk about maybe some of the things that we've already done that might have been on the bucket list beforehand, mm-hmm. and then what might be remaining.
Yeah, so we're actually going to do just a travel bucket list, right? Not, you know, your personal goals of, you know, I don't know what your personal goals may be.
That's a good point.
You know, it's not like I want to grow a garden.
Right.
You know, but yeah, that's just travel, right?
Depends on where you're growing the garden. I suppose you could travel to do that.
Right. Learn yoga, you could travel to do that.
Yeah. But know. This is all travel related, yes. Right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
What it was funny, we were talking a little bit before we started recording, is, you know, because we've really just started traveling truly, what, 10 years ago?
Yeah, if that.
I mean, really.
Yeah, roughly.
And I think our bucket lists have changed dramatically.
They've certainly evolved.
Yeah.
Well, you were mentioning beforehand that, you know, you look back on the things you've done and you're not sure they would have been on the bucket list maybe.
I was saying that, and I think this is for, you know, again, this purely from a travel perspective, that, you know, if you start taking off and really traveling, it's naturally going to evolve. And the things that you had on your list, like your top 10 things, if you end up traveling a lot, you're going to knock those out. So for me, going back to, again, it's been 10 years when I took my first big trip, my European trip. And the things that I had on my list then, well, three of the top 10 we actually did in that first trip, three of this, and I'm talking about locations, you know, specific locations. And the other seven, I was like, I'm not sure if I'll ever get to them. Maybe I'll knock off all 10 of them. Well, I've knocked off all 10 of them, and I've been to several of them like 8 times.
Yeah.
I mean, Paris is kind of, well, it's kind of crazy.
It's interesting. I mean, you know, so something on your bucket list could have been, you want to go see the Eiffel Tower.
Right.
But it could also be a bit more broad where, hey, right. I want to go to Paris.
Right.
And so how do you really define that?
Yeah, I think you can do it however, right? I mean, it's your bucket list.
Right.
Yeah, that's what makes it nice and unique. It's yours.
Yeah, you can paint it however you want, decorate it however you want.
Yeah.
No two are alike.
Well, I'll kick it off. I'll kick my bucket first.
And, whoa.
Yeah, so, I mean, we're talking about Paris. And,
yeah.
And that was, for me, my first biggest trip a few years ago. My wife and I went to Paris, and that was certainly something that was on, you know, what I would consider my bucket list to do. But we did so many things while we were there, and I didn't really think about it in that way. You know, is it to go to the Eiffel Tower? Is it to go visit Versailles? Or was it just really the trip to Paris? I think for me it was more about, you know, really a trip to Paris, not doing a specific thing. And so, you know, we did that, and boy, we hit the jackpot when we went.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the weather, I mean, I think we were there for 7 or 8 days, and it was 70 degrees and sunny every single day.
What time of year did you go?
We went in October.
Yeah, it's a great time.
And we just hit the perfect conditions, and we had breakfast, lunch, and dinner outside every single day. It was just incredible. Well, I would say, except for when we visited Versailles, we had like a late brunch inside of Versailles at that little restaurant in there, which was excellent.
Yeah. So you were saying the trip to Paris as a whole was part of your bucket list, your kind of goal or dream to do.
Right. Right. Yeah. Certainly one of the things that I've always wanted to do.
That was just as well. I mean, it was. I mean, you assumed, at least I assumed, I guess, when you go to Paris, there's those iconic things that you do want to see. I think Eiffel Tower is on everybody's, you know, the Louvre.
Right.
You know, there's several of them. So that was definitely part of just an assumption that we were going to try to see. But
right,
it was definitely the just getting to Paris.
The surprise to me when I was there, you know, we had all of the big things, you know, Notre Dame and the Arc de Triomphe and the, you know, the Louvre, of course, and Versailles. And we stayed in Montmartre during the Grape Harvest Festival, mm, which was really cool. That could be a bucket list item in and of itself just to go during that time and to, you know, get the best views of Paris. You know, many people think up there at Sacré-Cœur,
mm-hmm,
and it was just awesome. But the thing that would have been on my bucket list had I known what the experience was like was just the cafe style,
yeah,
lifestyle. That was the most enjoyable thing throughout the entire week, yep, for me, was just hanging out, having a cappuccino, watching people walk by, and having some really great food, and it was pretty cool.
Yep, it is cool. What about you, Jim? Your bucket list?
Well, I sort of elaborating on what we've talked about already. Prior to making, and my first big trip across the seas was Paris, also Paris and Amsterdam. So. Prior to that, sort of going back before then, and what's in your mind of what a bucket list is, you're right. All those iconic places, historical places and all that was definitely on it, whether it's the Eiffel Tower and Versailles and those museums, the Louvre and all, or in London with Big Ben and, you know, the different things there, or any of the big European cities. It doesn't really matter. Rome, same thing. So those were my bucket list type things then, or that's how I would have described them. Whereas now I've gotten to go to some of those places and we've taken part in some activities that are also bucket list things, whether it's running with the bulls or riding camels in the Sahara Desert, or, you know, going to Oktoberfest or seeing the Northern Lights. I mean, mm-hmm, all these different things that have happened. So now my bucket list has become wider and a bigger net. And then is it, and all those different types of things are on the list. Mm-hmm. Some are natural wonders that you want to see. I was going through it prior to the podcast to kind of refresh my memory and see what's out there that I haven't done or what I have done. And I pulled up a list by tourscanner.com. It's a blog of 100 top ideas. And, you know, like we've been talking about Paris, I wasn't thinking about those, but you know, a handful of those things were on that list. And, you know, that's what sort of got me thinking about the evolution of a bucket list. And it's like, yeah, going to see Notre Dame is impressive and important. And why wouldn't it be there? But now it doesn't come up. It's not what I'm thinking about because I've been there. So it's, so it changes and evolves. So I just think it's starting this conversation makes it pretty cool when I think about it. Whereas, you know, before when I'm just thinking about the list, I'm like, I've been there, forget about it. Well, that's not the case. And our listeners and whoever's thinking about traveling, it doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done in the past. It's what you want to experience now.
Mm-hmm.
And the more you can experience, great. But there's just this world is so big and so wide and so many things out there. The list is, I guess there's a finite number at some point, but it's going to be very tough for anybody to get to it. So it's just cool that there's so many things to do.
Yeah. Well, for you, though, can you maybe name off a couple of particular items that, you know, you would have considered on your bucket list before you started this that you've knocked off and what those experiences were like?
Oh, sure. I've got quite a few lists. I don't know if you just want me to get going and ramble on or just take a couple and go round table a little
we
bit.
We don't have time for all of them, so we're okay. Putting the pressure on you here to come up with just a couple of maybe the major ones.
Well, I mean, the stuff we said in Paris was there at one time, but one of the things is an offshoot of Paris was going to Normandy.
Mm-hmm.
That was a real big deal and more of a heartfelt type place that I wanted to go to and had the that very very powerful experience to go and enjoy that. So Normandy was one. for my 50th, I got to do a couple bucket list things. We went to Tromsø, Norway, which is 200 miles above the Arctic Circle, and we're fortunate that, I mean, we expected to see the Northern Lights, but you don't know. There's no guarantee they're going to happen. You can't just show up and, you know, like going to the Eiffel Tower. At least you know you're going to see it if you get there. But we were fortunate enough, hung in there, and got to see those. So that was a magnificent experience. And then on that same trip, more of a festival type thing was going to Oktoberfest, which obviously is a big festival year round that's in Munich, Germany. So going and doing that with a bunch of friends was a great time as
that's
well.
That's like your annual bucket list, right? Well, yeah. Can you have an annual bucket list?
You can. Absolutely.
Sure.
But you have to get there once before it can become annual.
Right. or twice, right? Well, you know, if it's once, it's just a one time.
Well, that's true.
But the second time.
That's correct.
You know, you.
I aspire to have a monthly one.
A monthly
travel bucket list.
Yeah, absolutely. Why not?
All right. Well, how about you, Mr. Price? What?
Yeah, it's funny. So just like Jim did, I was kind of looking at what other people could, you know, perceive as a bucket list for travel. And, you know, there's several websites that are, you know, are posting them. And that's part of the thing that we're going to do, right? Mm-hmm. This episode, we'll come up with what we think are top, you know, three things to do as far as bucket lists at the end of this.
What's left in the bucket.
Yeah, what's left in the bucket. But yeah, I mean, going through it, I was
or is it out of the bucket and you put it in the bucket once you've done it? How does it?
I think it's out of the bucket, right?
It's out of the bucket, okay.
But, I was amazed at how many things we had done. I mean, truly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Notre Dame, the Eiffel Tower, the Louvre, just in Paris. Angkor Wat, just recently. Just absolutely amazing. Grand Canyon. You know, seeing Big Ben in London. Venice. I mean, just being able to take a ride down the canals in Venice is just one of those things. It's so iconic, you know, and to have done that literally on our first trip was awesome. Sagrada Familia, you know, seeing that cathedral was just awestruck, you know, the desert, like you said, riding camels in the desert, for gosh sakes. Versailles.
Spend the night in the desert.
Yes.
With the Berber tribe.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Add on to that. You know, Oktoberfest, Mardi Gras. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's just so many things we've gotten to do. And we're talking mainly, obviously, foreign travel. I mean,
correct.
There's so many things that are on people's bucket list that are in the States that we all kind of just take for granted. You know,
right.
Vegas, New York, New Orleans. I mean,
Mount Rushmore, absolutely.
List goes on and on. And it's just kind of crazy. But that's just the things that just off the top of our head. I mean, crazy bucket list stuff.
How about any of those that you've done? Because you guys have done quite a bit more than I have. I hope to catch up one day. But how about things that you would put on your bucket list now that you didn't realize when you went there the first time? It was just like, oh, this wasn't really something I thought I was going to do, but wow, what an experience. This really should be on somebody's.
That we've done that people probably wouldn't have?
Well, or just you personally, if, you know, something that you didn't really have or think that might have been a bucket list item, but you ended up doing it, and it's like, wow, that was surprisingly...
For me, one of the big things, but I you're starting to see it, I would say, more over the last 5 years, getting on these lists of places to see, was Dubrovnik in Croatia. I mean, that's, you know, it really wasn't on a list a decade ago. I mean, it was really few and far between that people would talk about it. But lately it's really gotten, you know, you see it on a lot of lists now.
Right. So if it hadn't been on your list
it was just quirky why it was on my list. I mean, it really was. It was just one of those weird things that I saw pictures of it and wondered where the hell that was. Right. I mean, if you see the pictures of it now, it's more recognizable, especially Game of Thrones. I mean, everybody recognizes, you know, they don't know still maybe that it's Dubrovnik, but they'll recognize it when they see it. But I think it's also an era that I grew up with, the whole war and the things that went on there. And, you know, just that kind of thing just was one of those things that drew me to it. But I really wanted to go, and I got to go. So I think it really should be on everybody's list.
Yeah. Right. How about you, Jim? Any that really took you by surprise when you went that you didn't think?
Yeah, well, yeah, that I would, I guess in going further on that I would want to go back to. I mean, I didn't necessarily, it was part of the trip, it was great, and now it's like, oh, yeah, I need to go back there. So there's a couple, well, let me add on a couple that we went to and then stuff like that. This first one wasn't necessarily on the bucket list, but we ended up doing it, and that was being in Bangkok for New Year's Eve. So that, you know, that was pretty cool. That was a neat experience, and one I won't forget. When we went to Greece, we did go to the Acropolis and see the Parthenon, yeah, which is definitely a big bucket list thing, and I'm very grateful I went there. But then we went to some of the Greek Isles, and Santorini was just fantastic. And I would make sure, you know, suggest to anybody, if you're going to go someplace in that area of the world, that you check it out, because I mean it's just beautiful and just was fantastic all the way around. Also, when, and this was a day trip, a side trip, a trip that wasn't even really in the schedule other than to get a break from what we were doing, which was running with the bulls. So we're in Pamplona, we're living that bucket list trip that we've done numerous times now, but popping up a 50-minute ride to San Sebastian, and that's just another gorgeous city that's on the coast and great food.
Yeah,
and
it's
great
a food
beach.
Mecca. I mean, it literally is. It's growing even more so as far as a food destination spot.
Absolutely. So
they have two of the top 10 restaurants now in the world.
Yeah. So, So
what's the dining experience like there? Is it indoor, outdoor, both? Both. Just depending on what's, yeah.
It's very European. I mean, it's you got some cafe seating outside, and you're kind of walking by everything. It's, you know, the small streets and that type of stuff, and you can sort of see what's going on. They're not usually big restaurants, but then they got seating outside, which sort of expands the capacity, and lots of tapas, so you can go in and kind of see what the fresh tapas are, which is just, you know, it's very enticing. So I want to eat here. Then you go next door. It's like, holy crap. Like, there's another place.
It was like you with the street food in Vietnam.
Oh, my God. In Bangkok.
Or in Bangkok. You had to try everything. Yes. Isn't that what you were talking about?
Yeah. Like 6 meals a day. Highly recommend that. Yeah. Then you throw in the occasional snack.
Right. Just to tide you over.
But I do remember saying that, and that's one of the beautiful things about an environment like that where the food is so inexpensive. I mean, we're talking like $1.50 for a meal. That I remember every time we'd stop in to have a drink, you know, take a break and sit down and have a drink and people watch, and they always throw out, you know, the drink menu and the food menu, and everybody would go, "No, we're good with the food." I was like, "Whoa, just bring that back. Let me look." And sometimes I would order something knowing I'm not even hungry, but it's $1.50. I'm going to try a few bites of it, see if I like it. Unfortunately, I end up eating it almost every damn time. So I think I walked around in a perpetual state of being full. But yeah, but again, yeah, it's awesome.
Very good. Well, I mean, you know, for me, one of the surprises for me in Paris was going to Versailles.
Yeah.
I didn't really think, you know, my wife, Emily, was the one that said, hey, you know, we really should take the trip out there. And it's, you know, if I remember right, I don't know, about an hour and a half. It's a bit of a venture to get out there, train ride, and it's a full day experience. So I wasn't sure that going to Versailles and spending really probably about an entire day would be worth it, you know, when you're only there for about 8 days or so. But boy, it was one of my favorites and a surprise. Just walking the grounds, you know, going all the way back into the Farmat area, mm-hmm. and it was just it was, of course, you know, being a great day. It was great to be outside walking around too. The weather was really good, as I had mentioned. The other one for me that I thought I would never ever do and did, and really glad I did, was the JFK 50 miler with my son. So that was something that was a big surprise, and I would have never done it had he not, been pushing me. So I would have never put something like that on the bucket list. I would have never done it had I not had a 18-year-old son that likes to run. Mm-hmm. And I'll never do it again.
Don't say never.
And well, I guess I should never say never, but those were just a couple of the things for me that were surprises.
I mean, that one in itself is not everybody can do that. I know I can't do that. So, I mean, you're in a small class to be able to do that bucket list item. So that's kudos to you. That's a great feat.
Yeah, it was fun, very rewarding, and yeah, again, you know, I don't recommend it for anybody unless they want to. You know, for me, it was just about doing something with my son. That was the big thing. So, so where to next? Are we're going to talk about things that we still have left? Things that you guys still have left? You think might be on the bucket list?
Yeah, I was going to.
Places?
I was going to do maybe we should do a quick little synopsis of all the places we've been, maybe some of the recommendations. We kind of hit a couple of them, but maybe just some recommendations of additional places that, you know, you see them on the lists, but, you know, we're actually saying we should go type of thing. Just like a quick little summary of those. I mean, we talked about, I think, what do you want to call them, festivals or, like, significant things?
Mm-hmm.
I'm a huge, I think anybody who's listening to the podcast on a regular basis knows we're huge proponents of the Festival of San Fermín.
Absolutely.
And Pamplona, which we're, you know, currently mourning because it's not happening this year.
Correct. We'd be packing our bags and anxiously awaiting the ride
very
over.
That's huge, that I highly recommend. Oktoberfest,
mm-hmm.
which again, we were going to go to both this year.
Right.
And both of them have been canceled. So anyway, that's huge. I think everybody should try to attend Mardi Gras. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love New Orleans no matter what. Even though I haven't been in several years, it's still one of the cities in the United States I've been to the most. I think I've been there a dozen times, you know, other than places right around here that you can drive to. But there's still something about that festival specifically. I mean, it's a total chaos.
Yep, absolutely. And I got to do that once.
And I don't know if this is a French word, but it's a total shit show.
It is. Oh, absolutely. There's no doubt about that.
So right up your alley, Tony.
Oh, it absolutely is. Now, I have to say, you know, I'm a little older than I was when I first went.
What?
You have to be in a frame of mind, just like I think with any festival, because there's crowds of people. But also knowing to get off the, you know, the main streets to be able to grow in and be able to grab a drink quickly mm-hmm. versus the total chaos of Bourbon Street. But that's just something you should absolutely hit. I mean, those are like some of the big festivals that I know of that I've been to. But I don't know what else I was thinking. I'm sorry. Several other places around the globe that, again, I think Spain mm-hmm. in general is a great place. Portugal is a great place. I think everybody immediately says France, you know, even England and Spain, or occasionally you hear Spain, but usually, you know, that Italy and France is like the two big things of Europe. Then throw in some Germany things, but.
Well, and don't forget Ireland and St. Paddy's Day.
Yeah.
You get there. That's a big.
That's a huge experience.
I mean, it's a day.
And it's sad that we just kind of forget about things that you've done.
Absolutely.
That's on my list of things I haven't done that is residing on the bucket list.
Yeah. There's, I don't know. It's just crazy to think about your bucket lists.
It is. It is. Absolutely. I mean, you mentioned Spain, Barcelona.
Oh, my God, yes.
One of the day trips out of Barcelona. I mean, you mentioned Sagrada Familia and all the other gaudy places. But outside of Barcelona, we did a day trip to Mount Serrat, which is a monastery up mm-hmm. up on this mountain with the Black Madonna. And that was beautiful and incredible. And then the second half of the day was to one of Europe's largest vineyards.
Yeah, Cordenou.
Cordenou. And that, so, I mean, there are just... that's one, you know, Brian asked earlier, one of those things that wasn't necessarily on the bucket list, but that day trip definitely left an impression. It was very good.
That's one of those things, too, when you look back at things you didn't necessarily plan or was ever on your radar, and then you're like, well, we're going to be in Barcelona for 7 days.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get out of the, you know, and then there was the Black Madonna, which we knew about, but there just happened to be a combined event with Cordenou, and to this day, that's one of those most memorable things.
Absolutely.
Just kind of going through that whole, you know, vineyard and one of the classic pictures of our group. It's just fantastic. I still have several bottles down in the basement from that trip.
That are full?
Oh, yeah.
That's an even bigger surprise.
That, yeah. Jim, is that an invitation?
No.
Probably not if he hadn't drank them.
Nope. I'm not saying you won't participate when we do crack them open, but I'm not quite ready. So.
Gotcha. Okay. So where to from here?
I don't know. You want to talk about some potential bucket list places?
I think we should.
Okay.
Jim, you want to kick us off here with some that are your list?
In sitting down and thinking about this prior to, I kind of used the way we've booked past trips where we actually usually hit a couple places and usually there are some bucket list items on here, so they end up combining into one trip, but they're in, you know, a general vicinity or area or something that kind of makes sense. So if you've got 7 or 10 days or 2 weeks, depending on what you're doing, you can actually hit, you know, maybe a couple bucket list items right off the bat. So I did three different groupings, and I don't want to go into all those right now, but I'll at least start and then let somebody else do what they want to do. But I wanted to give that background of why I'm kind of piecing a couple things together with this. So the first one, and before I sat down the list, this festival is something that's on my list. I've been wanting to go to it. It's the time of year is in April, and it's never worked out to be able to do it. So before I did the rest of the list and started looking at stuff and saying, oh, wow, I want to go there, and oh, yeah, well, I want to go there, and, you know, to about 25 different places. The reason I'm going with this first, because this is what was in my head before I even looked at anything. So it is the King's Day in Amsterdam or the Netherlands. And
King's Day.
Yeah. We've talked about that.
I think we have.
For years now.
We have, and we just never seem to get there. It celebrates the king's birthday. The current king's birthday happens to be April 27th, so it varies because, I mean, obviously kings only last so long, but the festival's been going on for a long time.
And it is a particular day, so
it is. It's on April 27th. Right.
And
so
it changes when the king changes, then, I'm assuming.
Yep. I think so, yes. But going back in Dutch history, the royal family was the Orange family way back in the day, if you remember I'm not going to say it right, the War of the Orange or the when they battle with Britain and so forth. So orange is their color, and everybody, all the locals that go to the festival wear orange. If you can picture all the canals in Amsterdam and just all the streets are just filled with people, the canals and the boats, and it just looks like a fantastic time. And since we've had some really good times at different festivals, this just looks like one that I really like to get to.
Yeah, well, plus we had some good times in Amsterdam.
And we've had some good times. So put them together and we kind of feel like...
Can't go wrong, right?
Exactly. So the King's Day, it starts the night before. It just goes all weekend. It's carnival atmosphere, you know, street party, DJs, public squares, all that type of stuff. So it's just a great atmosphere, or I assume it is, judging by the pictures and all. So that's why I want to get there.
Yeah.
So that's on my list. But like I was saying, when we look at these trips, how do you kind of plan a few things around that? Because, I mean, that's like a weekend. So if I'm going to Europe, I'm spending more than 2 or 3 days there.
Sure, yeah.
So a couple of the other things, as I was looking through Tour Scanner's list of 100 things, and it's not that I didn't know of these things. You just kind of forget because they're just, I mean, the world's such a big place and there's so many things. But being up in that part of the world, a couple things came up for Iceland, the Great Geyser and the Blue Lagoon.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you know, we fly through Iceland all the time. We have layovers there. We say, hey, we got to come there. It's just cheap flights to Iceland. And we never do it. We never actually stay and get out there and go do it. So if I were to do this trip, I would wrap it with the King's Day in April, which, you know, Iceland obviously is going to be cold, but it would be very temperate at that time. And the Blue Lagoon's a heated, beautiful lagoon that you can get in, or it's heated, meaning it's warm springs, and just beautiful. So it's the thermal waters right outside of Reykjavik, very popular. And then Iceland itself, which isn't a big country, has all kinds of things to do. But the Great Geyser's one of them. They got some great waterfalls, different ones. Glacier lagoons. I mean, it would put together a whole trip to knock out a few pretty cool places in that one trip. So that's how, like I said, I'd sort of do groupings when we look at doing some of those things. So that was the first one. It's not necessarily my top list that I want to offer when we finish this and do a top whatever we do, but it's one that I would certainly consider.
I think that would be an amazing place to go to.
Some of the things that I was thinking about too was this kind of goal about, you know, actually Rick Steves is who brought it to my attention, is more of the second cities term he uses. So when you think France, you think Paris, right? Italy, you think Rome, you know, that type of thing. Is some of the not the most popular city in the country, but maybe these secondary cities to kind of hit. Because there's just something unique about, you know, you have those iconic locations, but then there's other parts of the same country that can open a bunch of other doors to you. Because some of the things we always love is that when we travel, you get surprised. So if you're going to some place that maybe you didn't first consider, okay, maybe we'll try that one and then just see what happens. You know, because when you think of France, Lyon is a big, popular place, but nothing obviously like Paris. You know, and then you get into some of the other locations and just looking at some of the bigger cities, but not the biggest city or the most popular city, and just trying it out, you know. And I don't even know what some of them would be. And I don't know if there is such a thing as a true second city, but you know what I mean? But just picking a city that you maybe didn't think about and just go.
Yeah, I think you're always going to be pleasantly surprised because you haven't done your research or the whatever it is, the cathedral or the historical landmark or just the great restaurants or the vibe of the town. You're not thinking about it, so it catches you off guard in a positive way. And it's like, wow, this is just really cool. So it kind of has a more impact than maybe the first cities, because you were expecting all that from the first cities, and sometimes are let down a little bit.
Right. When some of it may just be getting out of the city that you're in and going out into diving into the culture a little bit more. You guys have talked about that before.
Absolutely.
So it, you know, maybe is not the second city, but it's just getting outside of the city and getting in more with the locals and, you know, seeing what they're doing, learning what they're doing in a different way than what the more, you know, just what's happening in the bustling center of the city that you see all of the pictures, photos of, or you hear about. So those experiences can be kind of cool.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The one of the other big things I was thinking about was visiting things around themes. Just as a concept, you know, just, okay, I just want to do food, right? Or maybe it's, you know, museums, and then just saying, okay, well, let's just look it up and see what pops is, what different sites and different, you know, blogs are saying is like some of the top places to go now versus what was historically known as, you know, the top food places. And just trying it and seeing what comes up and just seeing what cities pop up that maybe you didn't even think of. And you're like, oh, well, hell, I'll try that just because that food looks awesome.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, yes, I do leave with my belly. I'm sorry.
I do too, but that's not by choice.
I think that happens for a lot of us. It's a big part of travel. It's a big part of, you know, learning about the country, the city that you're in, the culture that you're in, the way they prepare food, the way they source it. You know, how they present it. Those are great experiences.
Yeah. Well, Bourdain's kind of a big influence for me as far as travel and how you travel, you know, and break bread with somebody. I mean, doesn't matter where you are.
Yep.
You truly, and I'm not talking about going to a kind of like what we refer to as a chain restaurant or to the tourist places. You know, you get into some of the places like Venice. Well, there's, you know, five giant cruise ships that roll in a day. Well, they only go so far. They only have so much time and the attention span. So,
right.
You know, those first two blocks of restaurants are going to be not what I would consider traditional food.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about that in other podcasts. So, you know, but if you get into an area and you can really get to, like you were saying, locals and where they're eating, how they're eating, you know, it's just, it's an experiment. And then
great when you can actually sit down with them. And how many times have we done that where, I guess if you tend to hang out for hours at a time eating and drinking, and eventually you're going to meet locals. And sometimes they invite you down to sit Absolutely. At a table with them. And it's just always been a great experience. Just mm-hmm. always.
And sometimes they invite you to leave. It's time for you to go.
I don't think we've ever
Seldom.
Had that.
I don't think so. I certainly don't remember it, or I choose not to.
Yeah, maybe we blocked that out. Now, there has been times, just like there's been that here in the States, where they're like, all right, we closed an hour and a half ago. We really got to go.
Europe's not as bad about that because they're just so laid back and easy going about it. But yes, that does happen.
Yeah. Well, I like the idea of traveling, you know, for a theme. So food, obviously, that's a great one. What other types of themes can you think about for travel?
Some of it's been adventure.
Okay.
Also festivals like mm-hmm. Jim mentioned King's Day. There's several festivals that we have on our list. I think that, you know, is one of those that, hell, let's just plan a trip around it, you know? Who right. knows what will happen? And then you can just add in a couple cities around it.
San Fermín could be adventure and festival.
It is.
All right. in one.
Yep. It is.
And food.
It is that too.
Right, but you could do a tour or a couple of stops just really based on one of those.
Yeah, I mean, and some people I've seen even doing some stuff around music.
There you go.
We almost did one combined with going to Pamplona. One of the big, and I do apologize, I don't remember the name of it because I wasn't thinking about talking about this, but it was one of the top festivals, music festivals that's done in Madrid. Mm-hmm. And it just happened to be around that same, so it's happening somewhere around, I don't remember if it's the beginning of San Fermín, so if it's around the July 5th range, or if it's more towards the end, so like in that July 15th, but it's right around that time frame. That it's huge.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's absolutely huge. And so we were thinking, hey, let's just jump in on that. But kind of planned it a little too late.
Yeah, no, that's a great idea.
In fact, there's a podcast that talks about the Chase Boehringer has the bucketlistlifestyle.com.
Oh, really? I haven't heard that one.
Yeah, and he that's what they do. They plan. Well, I mean, they write, they blog, podcast about it, but then they can also help you plan adventures or whatever your theme is, adventure, music, food, destination. So goes into a lot of detail, but is almost specifically to a bucket list lifestyle. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah. I'll have to check
I think
that one
some
out.
Would say we have a bucket list. Lifestyle.
I think that's would be accurate.
But again, we always say anybody can do it.
Oh my goodness.
You truly
yes.
can. You Absolutely. Just have to decide to take that first step and do it.
Yep.
And it does become addictive.
That's the thing. It is.
well, for me, I had, done the typical type of thing. I haven't done a tremendous amount of traveling, but Ireland is at the top of my list for something that I still want to do. I think I'm 46% Irish. But I've always been drawn to the photos, and of course, hearing your stories about the trips to Ireland, and you look at the Cliffs of Moher, those cascading sea cliffs. Something I'd really, really want to see. Kissing the Blarney Stone, and
it gave me the gift of gab.
The gift of gab, and I think you might have had that before. You know.
It may have accentuated it.
But just traveling around and I'm an avid golfer, so I would love to hit some of the links in Ireland and give those a try. So that's certainly on the list, and I'm also I think somewhat of an adventurist. So the draw to doing, and I've talked about this before, of course, the Everest Base Camp.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Trek, and I've looked into some of those trips and the way that those are planned. There's a 19-day Everest trip, starting in Kathmandu, and you go through all the different villages, and you stay at, I think four different hotels and about 14 or 15 different cabins along the way. And so that sort of a trip is really appealing to me.
Oh, sure. That would be quite the adventure.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So I think I would consider that on my bucket list, something I'd like to do before I can't do it anymore.
Right.
And that's
you can always do it.
I just may not come back.
Exactly.
So, oh, and I, you know, one other thing that I want to do, it's, I want to see a rocket launch. I want to go watch NASA or SpaceX or somebody launch something into space.
Mm-hmm.
You know, me and the family sat down and watched the most recent SpaceX launch, launching the two astronauts, mm-hmm. first time the U.S. has done it in over 10 years. Just watching it on TV is, you know, gave me the chills. I can't imagine what it would be like to actually be there in person. And I mean, that launch was, there was a lot of elements going on with the, you know, the first launch in 10 years, U.S. astronauts going to the space station. But also being able to see like you never could before the cameras that they have for the, you know, the first stage breaking away, the second stage breaking away, and the first stage actually landing on a platform in the ocean. That just what an incredible feat, and that to me would be an exciting thing to do. That's definitely on a bucket list for me.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah,
I have a ton of things, I guess, still on my bucket list.
Oh yeah, me too.
You know, tell us about a couple.
Well,
what's next? I mean, if you could do anything without any, you know, no coronavirus, no nothing held back, what would be the next thing you'd do?
Oh, my God. Well, I don't think like that because there is coronavirus. I don't have an endless amount of cash. So, I don't know. But, I mean, there's so many festivals still I want to see. I want to do Carnival in Rio. I want to go to...
What time of the year is that? Any idea?
It's always spring.
Always spring? Okay.
Yeah, same as Mardi Gras. It's all...
Yeah. Gotcha. It is Carnival. It's just down there. But that's supposedly one of the biggest and wildest mm-hmm. and craziest ones. I'd like to see that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I want to go to Rio anyway, so why not go during Carnival? You mentioned King's Day. I want to do that. There's the safari. It's huge. Originally was planning on doing that this year for me, but that's not happening. And there's several places to do that, too. Originally, I was thinking about doing it in South Africa, but now I'm thinking more the northern part of Africa. But that's huge.
I remember, you know, one of the things you were going to do this year that I don't know if you'd consider it a bucket list item or not, but you were going to basically stay in the south of France for a month.
Yes.
And the research that you and the family did on going there and being able to stay in the south of France for a month and the costs associated with were really affordable compared to what you might think.
Oh my gosh, yes.
And so not a bucket list item, but maybe, I don't know, spending a month.
Yeah, I guess I it's not fair. I don't even put that on my bucket list anymore because I'm definitely doing it.
Yeah.
Right? It's not kind of one of those things I guess it's still a goal, but it's kind of, you were talking about annual bucket list. That's my annual bucket list. Mm-hmm. A month abroad.
Yeah.
Every year, at least.
Well, the way the world is today, you know, depending on what profession you're in, I mean, if you're still working, not retired, it's in a lot of cases, it's still very doable.
Very doable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, so it's not planning to have a month of vacation. I'm going to be working.
Right.
But as people say, I'd rather be working in a awesome location that's not what I see on a day-to-day basis.
Not that where we live isn't awesome.
No, but yeah, but different it's just good. Different, right?
Makes it nice to come back to that place.
It does. So, yeah, I mean, originally it was going to be France this year and then Italy next year. It may still be Italy next year. I don't know. But definitely that is, I guess, kind of an annual bucket list thing, just to pick a place.
Do it for the first time. That, to me, feels like kind of knocking something off the bucket list.
Yeah, that is something I can promise you was never on my list a decade ago. Not even a conceptual thought entered my head about doing that.
So do you recall what, you know, brought it to the forefront that made you think, oh, you know what?
Yeah, it was, and we talked about it a little bit, I think, the other week when we were discussing, you know, retirement, second homes, and things like that. But for me, it was exploring where to travel, where to go, and what to do. and realize that, you know, the world is small and you're still connected no matter where you go. And what I do for a living, I mean, I can pretty much do as long as I have high speed internet at this stage. So why not?
Right.
You know, when you start looking at renting, especially how we travel, where we stay in apartments most of the time, you know, we'll do hotels, but we like to get more of an intimate feel and also be able to have, if you're going to be there for several days, it's nice to have a little bit more room and, you know, that type of thing. And when you start looking at the prices and you realize, well, a week, not too much different than, you know, or it's a lot less expensive than doing like a day or two. Well, then 2 weeks is not double, and 4 weeks is definitely not four times.
Right.
I mean, you can get a 4 weeks or an entire month location. I mean, it is really a good deal. Now, it's still going to be expensive if you're staying in Paris.
Right.
But when you start getting on the outskirts of different locations, you can get great deals. Absolutely right. Great deals.
Right. And some people even, I mean, depending on the location you're in, some people find a way to rent out their home that they are leaving behind.
Right.
For a month. So right. If you're in a desirable location, and we know some are, and I think in our little town here that, you know, sometimes our homes might be, and so that would be a great way to offset some of the costs.
Oh, absolutely.
That can definitely work. But yeah, I think, you know, my mindset probably 15 years ago, 10 years ago would have been, well, that doesn't seem reasonable. It would be cost prohibitive. And, mm-hmm. You don't really think about what Tony was just mentioning there that, you know, well, if you start expanding the time frame that you're going to be there and you do a little bit of searching and you don't have to be right in the heart of the city, it can be very affordable.
Yeah, I mean, I like the concept when you think about that we're going to be my goal is to travel a lot and visit a lot of places. And again, it's for the whole experience of meeting new people, you know, learning new cultures, trying new food, and just seeing how different people in the world live. It's much easier to do if you're trying to explore the central part of Italy, for example, is to move there for a month. Well, then I can, you know, if you're living in Washington, D.C., well, it's not a big deal to drive to Arlington, Virginia, right? Not a big deal. But if you're living in Rome and you're going to fly to D.C., you know, and then fly back, and then you fly back to go to Arlington, well, that's difficult. I mean, that's more expensive. It's more laborious, you know. But if I'm living in Italy for a month, well, I can see a whole bunch of stuff in a month.
Absolutely.
That's literally a day trip, right? Know, versus a week. So it seems like a better way to explore the area. Because again, as we've been traveling a lot more, we want to explore, have a deeper dive into where I'm at, as opposed to just seeing everything kind of at the 30,000 foot level.
Yeah.
Not that I don't want to see certain places, you know, and touch on it and then go back and dig deeper. But I do know that no matter where I go, I want to see a little bit more about what you can see in 2 or 3 days.
So. Yeah. So how did you go about thinking about the location you'd want to be in south of France? What did you want
it's
to be
the south of France?
Close. Well, so, but there's, I mean, it's fairly large.
It is. Place. It's still large.
So location wise,
just regions, you know, knowing France, and I mean, there's a lot of reasons why, but you know, I love Bordeaux wine. It's close to the, you know, Atlantic. You're very close to the coast. You're close to a lot of villages. You're close to railways. You're close to the river. There's so many things there that makes exploring out from Bordeaux very, very easy. And that's how I picked it.
Right.
But it wasn't just that. It was also start searching for what's available for a house for a month. And that's kind of ended up how I narrowed it down to that location. But, I mean, it all depends, right? If you have it tons does. Of money, you don't really care. And you're like, well, I'll just book wherever I want to go, whenever
right.
I want to go.
Right.
But
that certainly sounds like a bucket list type of item to me to do. And if you do it annually, then, yeah, great. That's an
yeah.
annual
bucket list. Yeah, that's definitely what I want to do.
No doubt. And I sort of feel the same way. I wasn't thinking of it kind of like, I guess, you or Brian was saying, as a bucket list, but it is. I mean, as I get closer to retirement, I would love to go and spend maybe 2 or 3 months and get a place like that. But then you can, especially in Europe, where you can hop to other countries and bigger cities, you know, in an hour or two on a flight and get to all those countries. I mean, I got a, it's not a high goal, but a goal of getting to every European country at some point. So, you know, those doing it that kind of that way, as opposed to just trying to do it in a 10-day trip or whatever, which you got to go at breakneck speed to get all these places
in.
You can kind of relax, enjoy the local lifestyle, but then plan a weekend day trip over to wherever, from Italy to Dubrovnik or wherever, or, you know, to Krakow, Poland, like we talked about last week. So you can get these little pockets and get even more experience, which is the whole point of travel, is getting the experiences.
Yeah, and what a great way to maybe explore potential places to retire. So if you're thinking about retiring abroad, or in a different country than where you're living, then, you know, spend a month in the south of France, spend a month in Panama, spend a month in just, you know, the way we've talked about it, the way Tony talked about it there, just being, you know, something that can be very affordable, you know, hit those places and maybe spend that time there. You can
absolutely
maybe figure out where you want to buy a place to retire in. So now I think we want to maybe get into just one.
Yeah, so like our top three bucket list as it stands today. So each of us pick one and make it our top three list. Is that what we're doing?
Well, it would be the top three within the group, but well, I don't know that it would be my top three what your other two are.
We don't care what you think. Other than the one.
So we'll go around and everybody come up with their top one, their very top. Okay. Basically what you'd want to do next if there were no limitations, what the top bucket list item would be. Tony,
okay,
you go first.
So again, this goes back to how you define a bucket list item compared to today. So my bucket list item, my top bucket list item, is to see and visit the natural wonders of the world. So now that list kind of changes, right? I've only been to one of the lists that I have, which is the Grand Canyon. I want to do Everest. I want to hit Rio. I like to do it during Carnival. The Great Barrier Reef. Love to do that. Jim's got to do the Northern Lights. I wasn't on that part of the trip. Victoria Falls, which seems to make sense to knock out when you go do a safari. And then I can't ever pronounce it correctly, but it's the volcano in Mexico. So that's kind of, I guess, my top bucket list. So that's, I guess that's cheating because I'm picking like a bunch of things to do. But that really is a bucket list. It's like I'd like to see kind of the natural wonders of the world. You know, and there's new ones that have popped up, but those are all really cool too. That we've talked about, but yeah, that's kind of really like my goal now is to kind of do that. And cause I know what's going to happen is whenever I plan something like that, there's going to be a bunch of little side things that happen because of it. Like, you know, when you go down to Mexico, I'll probably do a couple other things. If I go to see the Great Barrier Reef, well, that's a whole other trip in itself. Yeah. So,
and all of the ones you've mentioned, you haven't done any of those.
No,
yet.
Other than the Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't been to any of those. Victoria Falls has always been on my list. Yeah. I mean, it really has always been on my list. But then I was like, you know, again, I hate to sound kind of crazy, but, you know, when you've traveled a decent amount, now you're like, I need to kind of like have something that inspires me. And the natural wonders of the world seems pretty cool. And they're great locations, too, so that doesn't suck.
Right.
Yeah, that I could see that. That could climb near the top.
Yeah.
For me. So how about you there, Jim?
Okay, well, I've definitely got a list, so it's going to be a handful of items, but I've sort of separated them to areas that they are in. I haven't been to South America for some reason, so I've been looking at that, and there's a number of places within South America that are pretty incredible. I mean, the one that usually comes to everybody's mind is Machu Picchu in Peru, so I definitely want to get there. My dad's been there, a few other people I know have been there. But then down technically off the coast of Chile's Easter Island.
Yeah.
Terry Hall and Jim Reed have been there, and I definitely want to make that journey there. Coming back up a little bit, Lake Titicaca. If you're going to go to Machu Picchu, it's not that far away, though. It border. It's on the border of Peru and Bolivia, and it's the largest lake in South America. There's a lot of, and that's where the Incas are said to have started, or you know, their part of their civilization began. If you're in Bolivia, they have some incredible salt fields. This is a dried up lake from many millions of years ago, but it's got salt and other minerals, and it's like you see your reflection and the reflection of the sky. I mean, it's just got some incredible visuals there. So it looks like a really incredible place to go. And then the other place, two other places. One, this waterfalls is on three countries come together: Paraguay, Argentina, and Brazil. It's waterfalls called, and I'm probably going to mess this up, Aguazu Falls, and it's the largest waterfalls in the world. It's almost 2 miles wide. Several movies of there. It's just an incredible, the different layers of the waterfall. I mean, it's just a beautiful, beautiful sight.
And not to jump in on you, but we actually know somebody who's been and stayed there. So whenever you're ready,
nice.
Introduce you. They've told me some great stories. It's on our list too, going down.
So. Yeah. So that'd be pretty incredible. And then, of course, the Guadalupe.
Easy for you to
Come
say.
Come on, Jim.
Guadalupe's Islands, Darwin's Islands.
Galapagos.
There you go.
There we go.
I knew I had a D in there and I shouldn't have, but I couldn't stop saying it. Anyhow, and that's just a fantastic journey to go to those islands and see living things and species that you don't really see anywhere else in the world. So that would just be an incredible trip on its own. So that is sort of on the South American side. And I always want to go to Antarctica. So that, I mean, is below South America, obviously. But then coming back, and this kind of goes with some of the wonders of the world that Tony was talking about, going to Egypt, going to Giza and those pyramids, which are part of the ancient wonders of the world, one of the seven there, the Valley of the Pharaohs, the Sphinx and all. Mm. But then you go to the south of Egypt, and you got the Luxors and the Karnak Temple, Valley of the Kings, and then Abu Simbel, which is Ramses' tomb, which is just cool. An incredible thing. And then from there, I'd like to hop over to Jordan and go to the city of Petra, which is also it's on the seven new wonders of the world.
Yeah.
Wonders of the world, which is carved into the. This is in Indiana Jones and the Lost.
Yep.
One tomb, of them, the right. Lost. Tomb. Anyhow, it was one where
Temple of Doom. Or
no, it wasn't Temple of Doom. But anyhow, so the whole city's carved into the limestone, like into a canyon.
Oh yes, I remember that.
It's just incredible. So certainly that's not my entire list, but that is a nice list. That if I'm able to get to all those things, I would have had a happy life.
What's your big pick out of all those though? What's your first?
The big pick is doing the Egypt Jordan combo. Yeah.
I'd be with you on that one.
Yeah.
Egypt's always been kind of like a fascination for me.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, and when you think of bucket lists, which I wasn't really talked about like this when I was, you know, a kid in the 70s and all, but, I mean, the pyramids always have been a fascination. So,
yeah, it's kind of like the Acropolis when we saw it. Mm-hmm, I think that's the kind of same feeling when you see the,
right.
You know, the pyramids, and that's just gotta be wild.
Yeah. So that would be the top one. Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, Mr. Romine, what do you got?
Well, I'll break mine up into maybe two different categories. One is just very selfishly, you know, what is it that would be my ultimate bucket list that is probably unreasonable and unlikely to ever happen, but I want to go into space. I think I've said that
before. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So if I can find a way to do that, that for me... None of my family's going to go, by the way. I've talked with them about it, and my youngest told me the other day, he was like, no, I don't think so, Dad.
He's like, your own?
I'd love to work for NASA, maybe, and work in the science and space industry.
You could
but
be a space monkey.
I don't think I want to go. Well, right. Like I could be. I'd probably be about as worthwhile as a monkey going into space as far as what my skills would be to perform experiments, but... I think
you think highly of yourself.
I didn't realize this was going to be a beat up Brian episode. But, the perspective, you know, when you hear the astronauts being interviewed and the change in their perspective of your spiritual being and being in space and seeing the Earth surrounded by blackness. And just, I think that would be an incredible experience. So for me, yeah, will I ever afford it? I don't know. Maybe I can afford one of those balloon trips they're talking about to the edge of space where you mm-hmm. can see the curvature mm-hmm. of the Earth. There's talk of those coming online within the next couple of years, and you know those might be in the $10,000 range. So maybe at some point,
maybe
at some point.
How about something from a actually that's doable? Yeah, you know, this year.
Oh, this year.
Next year.
Yeah, next year.
Yeah.
So yeah. So coming back down to Earth. Haha. I think I mentioned it earlier. I think Ireland would okay. be the place I'd want to go. I think it would be a great trip for me and my family. Kind of explore our roots, see mm-hmm. some of those incredible visuals as Jim was talking about. Probably, you know, take the golf clubs and
do
try
the whole
to play,
tour of
do
Ireland.
The whole tour of Ireland and all of that experience. I think
yeah, that's
that,
actually that one of our be... top downloaded episodes.
Mm-hmm. It well, is, yeah.
Everything we talk about Ireland seems to be highly yeah. downloaded. So that's, yep. yeah, definitely so a popular place.
That'll be my first next step. And,
okay.
Yeah.
So I guess our three are Ireland, mm-hmm. Egypt, mm-hmm. and Seven Wonders of the World.
There we go.
Outer space.
We think.
There we go.
Can't throw outer space into this one because you can't go there.
Not outer, just, you know.
You can't even go this space. Year. You can't go next year.
But it'll be on the list with an asterisk.
Don't say can't. Don't challenge me.
How are you going to go? You're going to throw it into a space dumpster or something?
You know, off the stowaway.
Well, cool.
Yeah, very good.
All right.
Yeah, awesome.
All right, so now we have goals.
We have goals. We have trips we need to take and start booking.
And now we just need to wait for
this silly little virus to go away. Quit bugging us.
Literally, it's bugging us.
Yeah.
But we'll get there.
We will.
We will get there. Well, again, everybody can check us out, friendsthatcarryon.com, all the social media channels at friendsthatcarryon. And make sure, again, check in because we're having the new fan page is going to come up so you can win. You basically have, out of every 500 fans, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Y'all explain this, make sure I got it right. Out of every 500 fans, you have a chance to win a trip.
The next 500 fans that sign up.
The next 500 fans
have a chance to win a trip. And then once you become friends with benefits.
Oh, boy.
Oh, that's awesome. I like that.
Then we plan on giving away trips quarterly. So you'll have a chance for trips on an ongoing basis. So go to the website, subscribe. You'll get the podcast every time they get published, which is on a weekly basis. We have travel expert segments now that are coming out with travel deals and the latest info on how to travel, so you'll get access to those. And lots of other tips and discounts and offers and so forth.
Yeah, so you can subscribe to the website, mm-hmm. but also as a fan, the fan package, you're going to get a T-shirt, probably a couple other little things,
mm-hmm.
but it's the inside things that you also get that come along with it, plus the chance of winning a trip every quarter,
right?
Some inside travel tips, and also some bonus of some of our travel buddies that when you book a trip someplace, they can probably hook you up with a couple things that right. you'll get.
There'll be some codes that if you book a travel or a trip with them, that there'll be some benefits to that too.
So definitely keep an eye out for that. So cool.
Yep. Yeah, very good. Well, that was the Friends That Carry On podcast for today. Thanks everybody for joining us, and we will talk to you next time.
Adios.
Thank you.
Be sure to join the Friends next week for another great discussion. Don't forget to subscribe if you haven't already. You can also find the Friends and other content at www.friendsthatcarryon.com or check us out on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook by searching Friends That Carry On. Thanks again for joining us and don't forget to carry on, friends.